Hey there, sports fans. It's Eli here for the new show, Ramblings of a Diehard Sports Fan. Hope you're having a nice holiday evening with all a full slate of NBA games that we'll talk about today, as well as the NFL playoff picture. Want to introduce you. Say hi, Roger. How you doing tonight? Roger, you there with me? Alrighty, Roger's just going to be screening the calls tonight then. Here out of Atlanta, I am Eli. We'll be having a few guest hosts tonight to help us get along this program. First, let's go out and talk NFL. We've got a great NFL schedule for Sunday coming up. As you know, the playoff picture still being painted. A few teams still in it. Seeding still up for grabs. Right now, as it stands, you've got the NFC East is wide open. Washington plays Dallas, winner take all for the NFC East. That'll be an interesting game. As you know, NBC picked that up. That'll be the new Sunday night game. Giants grasping at air. They've got to win and hope that the Dallas-Washington game turns out with Dallas winning so that they can sneak in just barely into the playoffs. Green Bay clinched NFC North. Atlanta clinching home field on Saturday night, as well as San Fran and Seattle, still a toss-up on who gets in there. They'll both get in. It's just a question of seeding-wise. Seattle, as you know, had a nice smackdown of San Fran on this past Sunday night, and that one is one game that was very interesting to watch because San Fran's D, who's usually very, very good and very solid, just came out completely flat. Russell Wilson was able to run all over him and get the win for Seattle in a what's becoming a very tough place. It's always been a tough place to play in Seattle. The dome there is rocking. Teams need to be watching out for Seattle because they are the sleeper right now coming out of the NFC. They're going to be tough to play with, tough, very tough to deal with. And, you know, once you come out and beat San Fran in a game that meant everything for them, and Russell Wilson, defenses haven't been able to figure him out yet. He's going to be scary for teams to watch. Playoffs come in, NFC, it's pretty crazy right now with how wide open that is with all the playoff teams. There's no playoff team right now that I think is a wash. All the games are going to be very good to watch, especially with this week winding down. Atlanta's playing Tampa. They don't really have much to worry about. The question then becomes with Atlanta, do you sit your starters? Because Atlanta's got the bye in the first round. You're looking at 2 weeks straight of no football action, no real football being played if you sit your starters this week with Tampa Bay. And that to me is scary. Especially with the way we know that Atlanta has played in the playoffs the past few years, the stigma is still on them that they need to win a playoff game. And for right now, resting their starters is going to be iffy. And we've got our first caller. How you doing there? Izzy. No caller there with me. Showing up on the board, but not there with me, so we'll stick with them. Okay, sorry for the hesitancy, but right now I'm waiting for a few of our scheduled guest callers to call in. And till then, I'm just going to continue talking a little bit. We've got the NFL players, the NFL playoff picture that we're trying to figure out right now. Here's a quick rundown of the schedule in Week 17. You've got Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Like I said, it's going to be interesting to see, not as far as the outcome, but as far as what Atlanta does with their starters. Do you play them? Do you sit them knowing that you've got to buy the following week? So that's one thing to look out there. Jets at Buffalo. If there's a game that you couldn't care less about, I don't know what it is. Jets are reeling with the whole Sanchez, Tebow mess. Came out last week that Tebow asked not to be used in the Wildcat package that he normally is used in, then back and forth whether he did or didn't, and it's just a mess there. And as all you listeners know, or if you don't know, I am a diehard Dolphins fan, so I am loving the fact that it's a mess. That being said, with Buffalo played Miami last week, and Miami rolled them as they should have. Buffalo's got interesting decisions to make with Chan Gailey as a head coach. A lot of mixed signals out there as whether to bring they will bring him back or whether he will just stick around and be able to ride it out. They need a new quarterback in Buffalo. You're going to draft him. Do you keep Fitzpatrick? They just gave him a big contract. That'll be interesting to see. Once again, guys, this is Eli here in the new show. We're starting off tonight, and we'll figure out a permanent time going forward. It's Random Musings of a Diehard Sports Fan. The guest call-in number is 347-637-2306. Once again, 347-637-2306. Feel free to drop us a line. We'll talk whatever you want. And we've got a caller. Let's see what our caller wants to talk about. Hey there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How you doing, Izzy?
Wow, what's up? Sorry, it's just an issue with the software over here. It's I'm kind of back in the 20th century. You know, I'm still on a 56K dial-up, so it's probably
wow.
Hard to get me through. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I haven't heard those words in a while.
Well, I got to tell you something. You know how bad it is? Let me put it to you this way. The last time that you or anyone else probably had to use 56K modem, Rex Ryan was found at a buffet eating himself to death. I'm not even sure why he's still alive. The truth is, he does belong dead. For all it's said, you know, worth, Rex Ryan should be dead because apparently everything he's ever predicted has been garbage. He's kind of like the Mayan prophecy, except more people believed in that, which kind of says a lot about him as a human.
Well, here's my take on the Mayan prophecy. You know, I don't know if you saw, but Psy, that Gangnam Style, just reached, 1.7 billion hits. To me, that's kind of the end of the world as we know it also. So maybe they weren't that far off.
You'll make very, very good point. That's a song, Put the Very High, on the 1.7 billion hits. The truth is, that song really, if you enjoy the song, then you probably also belong in the same grave that Rex Ryan, I guess, belongs. And I heard you talking a little bit NFL before. You made a comment regarding Ryan Fitzpatrick and if they're going to keep him. I feel like this offseason there is going to be a lot of movement with the quarterbacks. I look at the Jets, obviously, to make a move. I'm not sure what that move is. The best bet for the Jets is if pretty much everybody died in a plane crash. And maybe Santonio Holmes, if he's able to get healthy, maybe he needs to survive. But he's a cancer when it comes to him opening his mouth, so I'm not really sure.
See,
but I guess you're a Dolphin fan. I'm a Giant fan.
Let me say this, Izzy, interrupt you quickly. The thing with the Jets, and putting aside, you know, I mean, I can't completely put aside my hatred of the Jets because I've got that bias there. But as an outsider looking in on the Jets, they have to completely revamp that team. There's maybe one or two, maybe three players that you say we absolutely have to keep. Other than that, it's a complete wash. Who do you even start? Where do you start rebuilding that? That needs a complete gut.
I agree. They are completely, they're discombobulated. There is no cohesion on offense. Their defense was decent. But again, once you lose a guy in Darrell Revis, it makes that secondary susceptible to getting destroyed. I feel like Leron Landry played very well against the run this year. He was a pretty solid contributor. I mean, Cromartie had a pretty decent season. But overall, the Jets were, again, as they are year in and year out for the last couple of years, they are a disappointment, and they talk a lot more. Then again, Ryan didn't talk as much this year. That's because he lost somebody with talent. And it's a pretty big embarrassment. So short of keeping a guy like Santonio Holmes, maybe DeBrickashaw Ferguson, Nick Mangold, You know, it's pretty sad when the only when two of the three players you need to keep are your offensive
our offensive line.
Right. That's pretty much where they stand. They need to be gutted completely. As far as the you mentioned about the Bills keeping Ryan Fitzpatrick, they gave him too much money too quickly, and this year he proved once again, as the Bills have proved once again, that as much hype as you can possibly have, they performed like Stephen Hawking in a marathon. Just absolute, just horribleness.
You've got to, they're definitely going to have to draft a quarterback and probably in the first round, which means another year or two till they're legitimate, contenders on the offensive side. You know, we had that with Miami, with Tannehill this year, and there were times where he looked very good and there were times where he looked like a rookie quarterback, and it takes time, you know, and Miami, Buffalo, I think, has pieces there. They do have pieces to build around, but it's going to be a question of getting the right quarterback in there and getting, I mean, it's going to be a new philosophy. They need a new philosophy there in Buffalo. Dave Wants that has to go as a defensive coordinator. He's never been able to change his MO. He's always got the same game plan. It's very easy to play against him. So there needs to be a complete change in Buffalo. Let's turn around. Let's talk about your Giants. Let's talk about the NFC East and that fantastic playoff race.
You want me to throw up on the radio? You want me to puke? Because I'm actually I'm very close to vomiting all over this microphone. You want to talk about the NFC East? Let me sum it up for you very quickly. Robert Griffin III, assuming this guy can stay healthy, he's going to be a giant thorn in the NFC East. He is as advertised. I've seen him play a bunch this year, I'm sure as you and many other football fans have. He is an unbelievable quarterback, an unbelievable talent. The question is, can he stay healthy for a majority of his career? Because he's not just going to be a pocket passer. He's going to run. As far as the playoffs, it's pretty crystal clear that the Giants do need a miracle. The Giants actually need the Dallas Cowboys to lose. They need the Vikings to lose and the Bears. Now, the Vikings, I believe, are playing Green Bay in Green Bay. That is a game that they can very well lose. I hope that that does happen. Obviously, I believe that I'm not sure who the Bears are playing off the top of my head. But obviously they need the Bears to lose. And then you have the Cowboys playing against the Redskins. And it's, I can tell you a reality, the Redskins are the best team in the NFC East, but their secondary is susceptible. They do not have a strong secondary. And they have to improve in order for them to go far in the playoffs because Griffin will not carry them. The Giants are just basically been a joke. They've been a total joke. They've been up and down, more down than up, obviously, as of late. They've laid out stinkers. It's been a real embarrassment.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, even if the Giants do get in, I would say they don't get past the first round. So, you know, the way they've been up and down and up and down, even if you do squeak into the playoffs, there's no real hope, I would say, that you're going to go far because the other teams in the NFC are just, to me, so much better at this point.
Which is pretty funny if you think about it, because of the teams that are going to be in the playoffs, the Giants have basically faced two of them in the Packers and the Niners, and the Giants made them look disgusting. I mean, they made them look miserable earlier this year. And then, of course, you have the Seahawks, who, by the way, are the hot team in the NFC, without a doubt. I would not want to face the Seahawks right now. Russell Wilson, you know, if not for Robert Griffin doing what he's doing, if not for Andrew Luck doing what he's doing, you know, Russell Wilson could be the rookie of the year. Now, I will say, without a doubt, that that can change between Griffin and Wilson. If Wilson can take the Seahawks deep into the playoffs, assuming that he can even get to the Super Bowl potentially, that will have an effect on voters when it comes down to rookie of the year. But that's obviously, I believe that it's right now, I believe it's Robert Griffin's to lose. I believe that if they can win a couple of playoff games, he's basically locked it up. That's my belief.
Which shouldn't be, because remember, that award should be regular season only, but as we all know, voters are affected by playoff, you know, how playoffs work out and all those things. The problem is, on the offensive side, there's a few very good candidates, and how do you really make the distinction between them. You've got Russell Wilson in Seattle, who's taken a team that didn't play that well last year and needed a rehaul, and taking them to the playoffs, and towards the end of the season has been dominating. And you've got Andrew Luck in that mix also, who took the worst team in the league, and they're in the playoffs now. Robert Griffin the same. I mean, the problem isn't who's going to, who deserves it. It's they all three deserve it. How do you make that distinction between the three?
Well, it's a great question, because when people look at, you know, rookie of the year, first, I'll give you an example. Let's say MVP. When you look at MVP, what is most valuable player? What is the true definition of a most valuable player? Now, some people will say, well, he performed the best in the league. Others will say he was the most valuable to his team, and he performed. That's what, you know, he basically is the most valuable player to the team, and without him, they are nothing. When it comes to the rookie of the year, if you look at all three quarterbacks, look at a guy like Robert Griffin III. If they did not have him, would they be amazing? Now, Kirk Cousins did play, you know, he played in a game and they handily beat the Browns, but let's face it, they're the Cleveland Browns. And again, they are about as relevant as the Bills. Even though they went on a 3-game winning streak this year, they're still god awful. But how do you make that distinction? It's really a great question. I don't know. Right now, all three are playing phenomenally. I do believe Bruce Arians should get, at this point, he should definitely, him and I guess Pagano, should be the coaches of the year, with Pete Carroll in at a close second. Mike Smith is also an option, but then again, the Falcons have had a history of playing phenomenally during the year and then stinking it up when the playoffs show up.
But, yeah, I mean, Mike Smith, you know, he's done a great job this year, but let's not forget he did have a playoff team last year. I think coach of the year goes to a guy, like you said, in Indy or Seattle that did not make the playoffs, that didn't have a great year last year, that completely turned around this year and is now knocking at the door and can be legitimate playoff teams.
I do agree with you. That definitely makes sense. It has to be one of those two. Obviously, it's going to come down to the end of the year. I think the best story in football in pro sports is obviously the Chuck Pagano and Bruce Arians story. I mean, they've completely blown the experts out of the water. The only story close enough to that really isn't much of a story. It was Eric LeGrand getting signed by Greg Schiano and the Buccaneers in the beginning of the year. That was like a feel-good story, but this story played out on the field. And let's be honest, nobody on the planet thought the Colts would have this many wins. I would even be shocked if someone said they gave him a 5-11 record, let alone 10-5 at this point. So it should be a slam dunk. But Pete Carroll is right in there. He's right behind the Seahawks. He's right there.
Yeah, and let's talk just quickly what I think Indy can do come playoff time. Obviously, I think the bottom half of the AFC and the bottom half of the teams making the playoffs in the AFC is not that good. And I think Indy took advantage of that. And I don't know that they're a great team, but they were a decent team that took advantage of a bad AFC, which was the same thing I said with the Dolphins. You know, I thought they didn't have a great team this year. They still don't. They need pieces. But it was a bad AFC and bad schedule, and Indy took advantage of it. Miami couldn't. Now, come playoff time, and if you look, Indy and Luck had the most game-winning drives by a rookie quarterback of, you know, in the history. Now, while that says a lot about Luck, it also says a lot about the team and how they're playing. Come playoff time, it's hard for me to say and think that a team like that, that needed that many game-winning drives in the regular season, could do anything legitimate in the playoffs, because playoff teams, you know, they're not going to let you stay in the game usually. It's a completely different thing. I don't see Indy matching up really with a New England or a Houston who's playing well.
Well, that definitely makes sense overall, what you're saying. Obviously, it's valid, and it has been validated in the past. Obviously, a team like New England, you do not want to go to New England and play them, you know, in the playoffs, in that kind of weather. You definitely don't want to face Brady. They have a very, very legitimate running game. I will say, however, though, that when it comes down to it, they are a very young team. They have a young quarterback. But what I look at the playoffs as is momentum. I look at the playoffs, and I guess being a Giant fan, I'm kind of jaded, or I wouldn't even say jaded. I would say more biased, because the Giants, in the two seasons that they had gone to the Super Bowl, they came out at the end of the season. They had the last game, and they rode that momentum right into the playoffs. Now, granted, they had a ridiculous defense both of those years, but when you look at it overall,
Indy's not really riding any sort of momentum per se. They've been up and down. There is not that momentum that the Giants had those years that they've won. And hold on, we got another caller on the line. Let's just go out quickly. Hello, caller. How you doing?
Hello.
How you doing?
So how are you doing overall?
I am good. What do you want to talk about?
One for me today.
Hello?
What would you like to talk about, sir?
Very bad connection.
How's it going?
All right, I can't really hear him, so we're going to put him back on hold. And we've got another person on the line. It's 646. Caller, how you doing?
Yeah, do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, is this Izzy?
Clear, talk.
Yeah, hey, it's Saul. How are you?
Saul Orbach, what's going on? Let's hear what's on your mind, Mr. Orbach. Remember,
what's on my mind? I'll be honest. I just read your post and I didn't really hear the show. But what can I say? I listened to the Lakers game tonight, and that's the risk you're taking being a sports fan. You might have your heart broken at the end of the night. Started off real good. They ended off real shit. Oh, the Giants, fuck them. Am I allowed to curse in this show?
I was about to say,
let's hold off on the cursing.
Right, let's try to keep it somewhat G-rated, Solly.
No,
let's try to keep it
cursing, just effing.
If that's your preference, then fine, but just try not to drop any F-bombs, because we're trying to keep it somewhat clean, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. So basically, I just wanted to check in, say hi to you guys, and say that we as New York sports fans have been taking a lot of hell this last few. We had the Jets, the Giants. Damn, look what they gave us. What do you call that thing? The Knicks didn't give us a good night tonight. The Nets didn't give us much to talk about either. How do I listen to the show?
You can go to blogtalkradio.com and look up there for the show title Ramblings of a Diehard Sports Fan. Also, you can call in and listen in just by calling in at the
Who's number 3-4. I know Izzy's one of the hosts. Who's the other host here?
This is Ellie Gray here in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Wow. So how you guys tuned up with each other?
Let's say we have a past.
Very
we do
nice.
Have a past.
Can I give myself a little plug before you guys hang up on me?
Sure.
Would you like
it
all?
I just want to plug my show. I'm doing a stand up comedy show at New York Comedy Club Saturday night, January the 12th. I think it's the 10 o'clock show. You want to find out more about me, you can always friend me on Facebook, Saul Dyslexic Auerbach, or Saul Auerbach's Comedy Empire.
Alrighty, sounds good, and we'll hope you'll call in the future going forward. We hope to do this show.
As long as Izzy posts a status update that he's doing it, I'll be calling in, but chances are I'm not going to really be able to listen because I'm not on the internet most of the day. I am, but over the phone. I can't really listen to it over the phone.
All right, Solly, listen. Right,
well,
good luck with
callers. Always welcome.
Bit. I got your.
Let your fans know I work with dead bodies also.
I will let them know that you are a mortician, which you're really not, but I truly believe you're a mortician. Just to follow up, Sol, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. Sol mentioned something in regards to the Nets and the Knicks and New York sports, and unfortunately New York sports. The Knicks up until this point have been playing fairly decent. I mean, they played well. They played decently tonight, not great, and, they couldn't close. The Nets have been pretty terrible over the course of the last 12 games, to 3-9. They could be playing a lot better, but because you have Deron Williams, who they claim is somewhat of a diva, has been questioning the offensive play game calling of Avery Johnson. And that's definitely not a recipe for success when the main guy on your team is questioning the
coach. That's not going to help out. And as seen previously with Carmelo Anthony, Mike D'Antoni from the Knicks side, you saw what actually happened. Giants and Jets.
Let me just throw in let's talk more on the Knicks and not just their loss today, but let's talk how they're playing this season. We all know they're playing very well. They're the second team in the East right now, which is, you know, I didn't expect them to be this good this fast. I thought they would be a legit playoff team this year. What the Knicks have been thriving on is their three-point shooting. They're shooting at a ridiculously high three-point percentage, and they're minimizing turnovers. The question is, can they do that over a full season? Can you continue that ridiculous three-point pace? And what happens when Amari Stoudemire comes back?
Very good questions. I will, however, mention another thing about the Knicks. Currently, the Knicks are on an NBA record. Now, would be the all-time NBA record. They only average 10.8 turnovers a game. Now, when you look at the course of an NBA game and teams that are susceptible to turnovers, you know, we have teams that average between 15 and 20 a game. Now, obviously, points scored off of turnovers have an effect on the game. One simple point can affect the outcome of a game. So the Knicks are not only shooting a high percentage of threes and hitting them, which is definitely a large measure to their success, but they are playing defense with their hands. They're not making bonehead fouls. They're not fouling people, and they are not turning the rock over. This is a key. When you have a guy like Jason Kidd who runs the point, who has been in the league for many years and arguably one of the top three greatest point guards in NBA history, which in my opinion, I believe, obviously that's for, you know, it's a different conversation for a different time. But the Knicks, like you said, you were not expecting them to be this good. I was definitely not expecting them to be this good. And I don't think anybody in the NBA, any one of these analysts, predicted they would be this good. So it's, can they hold up with the three-point shooting? I honestly don't know. Is it likely they will? Probably not. But so long as they continue to play defense, so long as they continue to not turn the ball over, they have a very good opportunity of maintaining stability in the East. And I believe the East is pretty weak this year. There are only a couple of elite teams. A lot of the other teams that we expected to play better are not playing that good. But at the end of the day, the team to beat in the East is still the Miami Heat. And that's really what it comes down to. They were the champions last year, as much as it pains me to say that. LeBron James is the best player in the NBA, as much as it pains me to say that. But that's really what it comes down to. And the question is, can the Knicks, you know, when they get to the playoffs eventually, can they close out? Can they compete with the Heat? That's the way I look at it.
Right. So here's the thing. It's all fine and dandy doing this in the regular season because we all know the regular season is not the playoffs. Once it comes playoffs, it's more of a buckle-down atmosphere. It's not the run-and-gun that we see a lot of times. It's not, you know, you're not going to – points on turnovers goes down. Teams, each possession is much more valuable and valued by teams than it is in the regular season. So the real interesting thing is going to be to see whether the Knicks can keep up what they're doing now come playoffs when you're playing a team in a seven-game series, playing them night in and night out, you know, obviously given the breaks of the games. But, you know, now in the regular season, I think they will be able to keep it up in the regular season. The very interesting thing for me to see is going to be seeing come a playoff series when teams really have time to sit there and work on it. And in a long series, how the Knicks react if that three-point percentage goes away, if the turnovers start racking up. Are they able to get around that and be a different type of team, or are they quote-unquote one-dimensional and just that, and if the three-point shooting and the limited turnovers goes away, do they go away also?
Well, that's a great point. There's a couple of great points. The question really is, are they going to be able to maintain that, and when it comes to the playoffs, can they truly maintain, you know, that level of three-point shooting and not turn the ball over? And let's face it, the Knicks do not have experience when it comes to the playoffs. I mean, the Knicks have not been in the playoffs other than last year prior. I mean, they've had issues, you know, for almost 10 years. I mean, we're talking about the early 2000s back when, unfortunately, a man by the name of Stephon Marbury a very selfish individual who liked to eat Vaseline and cry while doing webcam shows in China. Yeah, so that is pretty much what we were relegated to as far as who back then was basically the only player that actually gave a damn for the Knicks that actually put out is now like the Zeta in the league. So it shows you how far that they have come. But we will find out. The truth is we are obviously going to find out because, again, like I said, the East is a bit weak. So I do believe we're going to see the Knicks in the playoffs. And the question really is, will they be able to maintain that stability? Will they be able to maintain that three-point shooting percentage? And will they not turn over the ball? And in the famous words of one Marv Albert, all I can say about the Knicks is yes. The New York Knicks are playing phenomenal NBA ball. Good evening, folks. This is Izzy Weiss and Ellie Gray. If you'd like, you can call us in at 347-637-2306. If you want to complain about your NBA team, your NFL team, MLB team, or any other team for that matter, please call us in.
Yes, sir. And with that, we shall go to a quick commercial break.
Black is back, and only at Quiznos. It's the Black Angus on Rosemary Parmesan. Quality, thick sliced Black Angus steak topped with melted mozzarella and cheddar. Try it. You're gonna like it. Quiznos. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Toasty.
How do you make a tasty sub? There's the Quiznos way, and there's Wrong Way.
Hello.
Quiznos uses meat sliced fresh daily. Wrong Way uses shingle-packed meats in a bag. Quiznos uses bread made especially for toasting. At Wrong Way. And now, fresh out of the Quiznos oven is our new peppercorn parmesan turkey with bacon sub. Only $3.49 for a... What the? For a limited time only at Quiznos.
All righty, sports fans, we're back. I'm Ellie, and I got Izzy on with me. We're talking football, basketball, taking calls. Let's go out to the 973. Caller, how you doing? Caller, 973, are you there?
Come on, 973.
Hello?
You're probably in a bad reception zone. You're in a basement, aren't you?
All right, let's go back to 347. Apologize. Normally we have our producer on. I'm just not sure where he is. He's probably celebrating his holiday evening. So for now, we're just going to go with the area code. 347, you are
hello.
On. Call. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? What are we talking about now?
Whatever you want. What do you care to talk about?
I want to talk to Izzy
Weiss. All righty, go for it.
You want to talk to Izzy. What's up? What's
Izzy,
the good word,
doing?
My friend?
The good word is good. What's going on? What's on topic tonight?
What's on topic? What is on topic?
Talking golf.
Everything. Yes,
I
golf
want to talk
and
about
hockey.
Weberman.
You want to talk about Nehemia Weberman? Well, Nehemia Weberman,
not
I don't
not
think
on this
he,
show. This is sports, baby.
I don't know if this is the right show, my friend.
Okay, fine.
And
if
with all due respect,
sorry. My friend. So who's calling in? What's your name?
We lost them. As much as the Nehemia Weberman is a fascinating topic, let's not give that bastard any more any more publicity than he's already gotten.
I completely agree with you. If we're talking Nehemia Weberman, then we're definitely going to get into a heated discussion about a matter that everybody already knows about. And again, this is a sports radio talk show, so if you want to call in about anything sports related, go for it.
Let's talk Lakers. Do you see the Lakers bouncing back and making the playoffs? They probably will anyway. Do you see them bouncing back and being a legitimate team to worry about come playoff time?
It's a good question. Honestly, with Steve Nash running the point, I think that they have a great chance of being a solid team. Now, again, tonight I feel like Meta World Peace totally outperformed what he can do. He played solid defense on Carmelo at different points in the game. Obviously, Melo ended with 34 points, but not an amazing shooting percentage, a decent one. Pau Gasol, he's feast or famine. As you saw tonight, Dwight Howard went 6-for-9 from the stripe, which is 66%, which is you know, a full 16-17% better than he normally shoots. And overall, I think really what it comes down to is their health. They could perform. They could go far in the playoffs, assuming that they play, you know, that they maintain their health. But again, they're an old team. They're not a young team. Their bench has a couple of old guys in Antoine Jameson, who's about 150. You know, you got a couple of other guys. Steve Blake is still, you know, has to come back from his injury. He's a very serviceable backup point. They unfortunately have Chris Duhon, and being a Knicks fan and actually an NBA fan, we all know Chris Duhon is about as valuable to an NBA roster, I guess you could say, as Stephon Marbury or Allen Iverson would be to an NBA roster today. I have to drop their names only because they, again, haven't seen an NBA basketball in 5 years. They're kind of like the Terrell Owens of basketball, but Terrell Owens is for a different time.
Yeah, and I mean, the question is Mike D'Antoni the right guy to lead that team? Is his offense going to be able to be run with that team?
A Mike D'Antoni offense typically with that can shoot the three ball. And let's face it, the Lakers are not a three-point shooting team. They're just not. That's not their makeup. That's not what they do. They're more of a half-court offense, isolation to Kobe Bryant. He takes his 30 shots a game. Because again, in the last 3 years in the NBA, he has taken the most shots of any player. I do believe they need to get the ball to Howard more. I believe that the key to that team is obviously you have to get it to Howard, and Howard has to obviously shoot better from the stripe. But I honestly believe that the way that they are going to be successful is if they, you know, could shoot the three ball better, because the Knicks shot an abysmal, I believe it was 9-for-17 today from the line, and that's not going to get it done. You know, that was obviously terrible, and normally they play a lot better than they did. They normally shoot better from the stripe. They're a decent three-point shooting team, or a decent free-throw shooting team, that is. I don't know. I don't believe in D'Antoni, only because I saw what he did not do with the Suns. He had an unbelievably talented offensive team. But when it comes to the playoffs, let's be honest, Ellie, the teams that win are the teams that play defense. And they don't play defense. And that's just the way that it's going to end.
Correct. And you know, that's also with the Knicks, is they've actually started to really play defense, which they didn't do under D'Antoni, which is a nice bright spot for them, especially when we talk come playoff time and you know, what it would take for them to be a real contender and a real threat to, as you said, Miami. Because right now, as much as people have been pointing out that Miami's on, you know, with each loss, and, it, you know, it's only been six losses, you know, Miami's defense is down, Miami's shooting, yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, Miami's still 18-6, come Christmas Day, you know, they're still nicely in the first place slot. And you've got a player in LeBron who's taking 20 shots a game and scoring 30. It's just ridiculous what he's doing. Wade, they're resting more. He's playing the least amount of minutes he's played in his career. He's shooting at the highest shooting percentage he's had. They're just such a stacked team. Now, obviously, I have a little bit of a bias in it because I am a Heat fan, but they're coming off winning the finals. They've had 2 years to really gel. They've got a stacked team. The bench is ridiculous with Battier coming off it, Haslam coming off it, Ray Allen. I mean, I love the Ray Allen signing simply because not only does it not have him on Boston anymore, you know, he's killed Miami, he's killed a ton of teams being that last-second shooter, and now you add him to Miami and come playoff time with that veteran presence, being able to knock down the three-point shots. To me, it's Miami, unless some team really outperforms them, until come playoff time and I see what the Knicks can do in a playoff series, it's hard for me to say they'll be legitimate contenders against Miami. I think they make it a 5-6-7 game series even, but I don't think at any point you're really worried that Miami's going to lose.
Well, you make very valid points, and the biggest point that you make that I agree with is the addition of Ray Allen. And let's face it, as Knicks fans and you being a Heat fan, we've seen Ray Allen pretty much destroy and dismantle teams at the end when you're up by two and there's like 12 seconds left. You inbound the ball, you run around, and you see Ray Allen sitting in the corner, you know, you know, a little more than 20 feet away from the basket, and he buries a three, and you're just sitting there with your hands on your face, and you're wondering to yourself, how in God's name did the Zaidi get open and hit that shot? And he does it so consistently. I mean, he's obviously been the...
think about this scenario. Miami in a playoff game is down by two with 3 seconds left, like you said, needing a shot. You can throw LeBron, Wade, Miller, Battier, and Ray Allen. All five of them could hit a three-point shot, and you're making coaches face the impossible. That was, to me, is what's really the key to Miami and why I think they will go back to the finals and in all likelihood repeat, because Riley's adding smaller pieces around the big three that are veteran presences. He added Norris Cole at the point as a rookie and not expecting big things out of him. They're just such a stacked roster that even if a player goes down, you have people to fill in. It's, to me, Miami's the team out of the East, unless the Knicks pull off an upset, you know, but I think Miami takes the Knicks in five or six games.
Well, I will say this. I understand what you're saying, and at this point, definitely the Heat are the team to beat in the East. We also do, though, have to look at what the Knicks did to them two consecutive games. Now, obviously, I believe they hit somewhere in the range of 38 or 39 three-pointers, which was the most against a team in two games in the history of the NBA. So let's, you know, as far as an aberration, I guess, you know, we can agree upon that was pretty crazy. Now, granted, they beat them both times reasonably or handily. That is, I believe the first time they beat them by 20, the second time they beat them by 14 or 16. So they beat them double digits twice with the help of the three ball. And the second game, they did not have Carmelo Anthony playing. So that definitely is an issue. Now, obviously, the playoffs are a different puppy. I agree with that. But you can't really disagree at this point in the season that the Knicks can't put up some type of a resistance. 5-6. I would say the Heat should beat them in six games. That makes sense.
Yeah, but no, I think it'll be a great series. I don't think it'll be a blowout like it was last year. But I just don't think New York's at the point right now where they beat Miami in a seven-game series.
Well, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. And the Heat should go back to the finals facing a team like, be it the, obviously the Thunder are amazing. The Grizzlies have played ridiculously well. There are definitely teams in the West, and let's face it, the West is definitely a much stronger conference as it has been for so many years. And there are much better teams coming out of the West as opposed to the East, which is obviously weak. I mean, let's look off the top. Let's look at the teams that are performing solidly in the East. Give me your top five teams in the East right now. Let's do a comparison.
Well, let's talk going into the season. I would have thought that Boston would be better than what they're doing right now. Brooklyn should have been better what they're doing now. I mean, they're still playoff teams right now, but they're at the bottom of the feeder. You know, they're hovering right at 500, which, you know, roster like that, talent like that shouldn't be. I mean, I agree with you. It says a lot that the top three of the East right now is Miami, New York, Atlanta. I mean, that shouldn't be. Atlanta's got a solid team, but they shouldn't be ahead of Boston. They shouldn't be ahead of Brooklyn. And then the rest of the teams in the East are just, you know, a toss-up. There's no real team in the middle of the pack that you worry about that you think has a legit shot to upset teams, whereas in the West, they're stocked from top to bottom. You've got OKC, the Clippers at number two, San Antonio, Memphis, Golden State, Houston, Denver. I mean, it's just that all eight teams in the West going in have, to me, a legitimate shot to make it to the finals, whereas in the East, I don't think that'll be the case. It'll be two, maybe three teams that you legitimately say going
That's
in.
That's about it.
Wow, I think right. They can go to the conference championship.
Well, the conference championship at this point, based on the standings, we obviously could see it should be the Knicks and the Heat. That's really, you know, where it looks to be at this point. Then again, obviously, it's pretty early in the NBA season. I mean, we're roughly 30 games in, less than 30 games in. There's an 82-game season. We're looking at 50 more games, and, you know, things can obviously change. Momentum can change. But, yes, as you said, I mean, when you look at the Brooklyn Nets, coming into this season, almost every analyst I've seen, from Bill Simmons to Chris Bruce, everybody basically had the Hollinger. I mean, they basically had the Nets being a top, you know, potentially a third or a fourth seed, with the Knicks being a sixth or a seventh, maybe a fifth coming in. But the Nets have completely underperformed, and I can tell you right now, and I would go on record by saying, if the Nets lose one or two more games consecutively, Avery Johnson will be ousted. I don't believe he'll be coaching the team, and I believe that they'll probably give the reins over to a guy like PJ Carlissimo, who's been there for a long time. And luckily for Carlissimo, Sprewell isn't sitting on the bench, so he may not choke him. Maybe Reggie Evans will choke him because he looks like a scary-looking dude. Carlissimo will probably end up as the coach at this point because the Nets are not playing into Avery's offense. They're not playing into his defense. They're just not scoring enough. And they're not winning. They're 3-9 in their last 12. It's a joke. The Celtics, they look old.
Yeah, it's crazy what the NBA, like you said, we are only early in. You know, the crazy part is, remember last year with the lockout, we were just getting the season started today. So there's still plenty of basketball to talk about. Let's go to a quick commercial break. We'll be back and we'll talk some baseball in the last 10 minutes that we got left on the show tonight. Once again, call in number is 347-637-2306. We shall be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year, you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 minutes.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score. With an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Golf Tournament Quiet Sign Holder Upper.
Mr. Golf Tournament Quiet Sign Holder Upper.
Boldly you patrol the line between order and anarchy, armed with only your wits, your resolve, and your tiny cardboard sign stapled to a stick.
Actually, I glued it on.
You protect professional golfers from what they fear most. Idle chit-chat 200 yards away.
Stop breathing so loud.
Because you know there's one thing this spectator sport could really do without. Spectators.
Get them out!
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Sultan of the Shush. We'll keep singing your praises as long as you keep telling us to shut up.
Mr. Carlson, McQuack, right on the road.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
These days, my dollar just doesn't go as far. In my car, it gets me about 6 miles. On my cell phone, maybe 4 minutes. But at McDonald's, my dollar gets me through the entire day. From sausage McMuffin with egg for breakfast to a tasty double cheeseburger. Thanks to McDonald's Dollar Menu, my dollar gets me right where I want to be. Satisfied.
Alrighty, sports fan, it's Ellie and Izzy, and we're back. We got a few callers on the line. We'll get to you in a second. Once again, the call number is 347-637-2306. We got a little under 10 minutes left. We're going to shift over into some baseball after having spent a good amount of time on basketball and the NFL playoffs. Let's go to the caller 973. Are you there? Caller? Hello? Hello.
973 checked out, I believe.
All right, so we've got 706. Is the caller at 706 there?
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
I'm a drunk pimp.
That's awesome. That's great. Why
yeah,
don't you tell us how it pertains to sporting events. Does this actually, like,
Well, we put him back on hold. Apparently, it sounds like a recording of some sort. So for the last little bit, it's just me and you talking some baseball unless we get some callers in. Let's go with the AL East and a lot of action there with what's going on with the Yankees and a third baseman, the Blue Jays ramping up and making themselves legitimate number one team in that division. And you being a Yankees fan, what do you got to say about how things are shaking up so far in the baseball offseason regarding the AL East?
Well, the AL East, we're finally seeing more, I guess you could say, parity. What the Blue Jays did from almost every point of view, they've improved their team. They've obviously went out and spent, you know, money. They went out, they got the right guys. They definitely revamped their entire team. And I'm not going to say they look to be the favorite in the East, in the AL East, because let's be honest, if I went to you last year and I said, hey, the Baltimore Orioles are going to contend in September and they're going to potentially win the division, you know, coming down to the last two games of the season, you would tell me I'm crazy, as would anybody else. I didn't expect it. But I believe that the Blue Jays made their moves this offseason for that very reason, because they've been, the doormats, I guess you could say, of the AL East. They were basically a notch above the Orioles. That was basically where they were. So now that they see that the Orioles were contending, they feel like it's their opportunity to jump in. Boston, you know, they're in the doldrums. Let's face it, they haven't been this bad in years. They look awful. I mean, it's terrible. Every part of the team just looks terrible. The Yankees were dormant this offseason. They didn't make any moves. They really didn't sign anybody. Guys have been leaving right and left. Swisher just signed a ludicrous $56 million deal that, of all teams, the Indians paid him that kind of money for, which I still find is hilarious. But they shouldn't have to worry about him because, let's face it, the Indians don't plan on getting to the playoffs till 2046, so he won't, you know, screw up when it comes to the at least right now. All the teams look pretty decent except the Sox. That's pretty much the way I look at it. There's a lot of parity in the East, and it should definitely play itself out, and I'm looking forward to it as a Yankee fan.
Yeah, that's me also. The one thing I do have to say about the Blue Jays, you know, while it all looks great on paper, you know, I'm a Marlins fan. We all know what happened with them last year. They went out and made all these big moves, and the team looked great on paper. And once it actually came down to it, they sucked. I mean, they outright a 90-loss team. This is one of the pet peeves of mine now with the trade and the offseason and everything, and everyone's screaming bloody murder. Now, as a Blue Jays fan, you got to love what they did, but keep in mind, some of the players they picked up in the trade, there's a reason they were traded. They're big money guys. They're put up good numbers in the past, but they look to be starting to slide down on a tailspin. How will the team dynamic hold up there? You added a lot of big-name personalities there. Will that team gel well enough? You know, like you said, the rest of the AL, we pretty much know what they've done. No team has made any major move in the offseason. You know, Baltimore stayed the same, essentially. New York stayed the same. They don't have to worry about A-Rod, you know, till midway through the year, you know, going out and signing Uke. Best case for the Yankees, I think, also would be Uke playing solidly. I don't think you're going to see a monster year out of him. I think you could see a solid year out of him, and that would give you more flexibility as far as A-Rod. You know, I know they're dying to get rid of him as far as Yankees fans go. It's never really been clear what the front office has to say about him. They seem to more come out on the defensive afterwards, and everyone's screaming for him to be traded, saying, no, he's a part of it. What do they really think? I don't know. But, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, you think, yeah, Uke comes in, has a solid year, gives you more flexibility to deal A-Rod. And the rest of the team, you know, the Rays are going to be contenders. The Orioles, you have to worry about the Yankees and probably the Blue Jays. And like you said, you know, it's going to be a interesting division. And Boston is the only one that right now you don't have to worry about.
Well, Boston, unfortunately, we don't have to worry about them. You never know what could end up happening. They could be the Orioles of this year. I honestly don't see it, but you never know. One thing to mention, though, about A-Rod, the problem is that A-Rod's contract is backloaded. So there's a lot of money on the table that is owed to him, and I can't see any team on the planet that would take him short of the Yankees eating a chunk of his salary. Now, I agree with you 100% on Youkilis. I don't expect him to put up crazy numbers. He has to be serviceable. I do believe he can be serviceable in the fact that he's coming over from Boston. Well, actually not from Boston. He's coming over from the White, you know, from the White Sox. But the fact that he played for Boston all those years is definitely something that, you know, I appreciate. I can appreciate. Let's look at what Johnny Damon did for the Yanks when he came over. I mean, it was a year after he hit that grand slam in that series to screw us off Vasquez. As far as what you said earlier about the Blue Jays on paper, like the Marlins, and again, you're not being jaded, you're being, you know, straight up and honest, that on paper the Marlins look like a very strong team. Their rotation looked really solid, and they had hitters all across the board. Now they look like, you know, a team that was gutted after the 97 World Series and then after the 2003 World Series when your owner decided to pretty much take everybody that had to get paid anything off the team.
We'll see how it plays out. Let's go back, and you're playing, and I'll give you my take on this once again, and I know maybe some people have heard it or are tired of hearing it and think I'm nuts, but let's go back. 97 was owner Wayne Huizenga, a completely different owner. He owned the Dolphins at that point. 97, he went all in and bought a few players to bring them in to play the World Series. They had a base there. They had a base. They supplemented a few players. They won the World Series. And then Huizenga said, screw it. I'm cashing in now. We're going to trade all the players. That's 97. Come 2000, the Marlins, I believe it was 2000, 2001, the Marlins were sold to Jeffrey Loria coming from Montreal. 03, they did not have any really big-name players that they signed. It was a ragtag team that no one expected to do anything that year. They got real hot when it mattered. They went into the playoffs. They had a very hot run in the playoffs. They beat the Yankees in the World Series. And then, that offseason, the only player, only significant player that didn't come back was Pudge Rodriguez. And that's just because they didn't want to give him a 2 or 3 year deal at the big money that he wanted because they thought he was too old. You could argue one way or the other for that. But the real sale was not till the following year when the 04 team that came back to defend the World Series didn't do as expected. That's when they sold them off. So that, to me, has always been revisionist history when it comes to Marlins' fire sale. It was not right after the World Series. It was a year later, aside for Pudge. Now, fast forward to this offseason where everyone is having a hizzy and screaming bloody murder again with fire sale, fire sale, fire sale. Yes, according to the strict definition, you got rid of those contracts, so it's a fire sale. It's getting rid of money, but you're getting rid of bad money. They did what they had to do, and guys, we are turning down on 20 seconds left in the show, so we will continue my talk and my views on the Marlins the next time we go live. For Izzy and I, thank you so much for joining us on this holiday day. Enjoy the rest of your day. Heat Thunder on right now, and till next time, have a good one, all you sports
take
listeners.
Care of yourself and each other, in the famous words of Springer. Good night.
All righty, we're done.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Beautiful. So, what are they? So, how does this work out?
We got to figure out a time. We got to figure out. We basically got to figure out a time. All right. Let me.